Well, guys, it's been 2 months. It's been 10 episodes, but season two of American Grit is in the books, and we've got some very special guests. So stick around because you're not going to want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You finally got it, Amanda.
I did. Finally. After two seasons, I finally got it, and I am so happy. This one goes out to my brother, Rafi. So...
This has been, Yvette's been asking for this since pretty much the end of season one.
Yes, I have.
Guys, if you don't know, we should have come in on the chorus, you know?
We should have.
We'll let it get there. Guys,
we will.
That's it. It's the end of season two. This is the very last episode of the American Grid After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. Not here, not pictured, of course, next to me is my A1 from day one. You know him. The poet saint, Lem Gonzalez. Go to stayonthemic.com. Lem, we miss you. He'll be back. Next to me, of course, though,
is Yvette. Unfortunately, it is not TK this time.
Not TK Trinidad.
She's not here, but I am.
She's still recovering from her birthday season.
She is still recovering from the birthday season. I don't think she ever got to work out with The Rock. But,
damn.
Which I feel for her.
Damn.
You know, because we've talked about him every single episode.
Of course.
But you guys can always find me at Sports and Sass on Twitter with three S's and on Instagram with two S's. And then... to my left, I have the very beautiful Miss Chloe.
Hey.
Chloe Montes here for the second time joining us, our favorite cadre, of course.
Yay.
Chloe, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Of course, of course. And of course, we've got two very, very special guests, both joining us for the first time this season via Skype. Of course, of course, we got Team Blue represented. Hannah Keown, here we go.
Hey, what's going on?
And then right next to her, of course, the winner of the $250,000, the winner of season two American Grit, guys, Miss Gigi Gustin.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
The Mighty Mouse.
The
Mighty Mouse.
They like to call me the Mighty Mouse now.
Amazing, amazing. Now, how long have you guys been living together now?
3 weeks. Like, coming up on a month, I think.
Okay.
Coming up on a month.
Still pretty new. Still pretty new. Where are you guys living?
Boston. Yeah, like a little bit north of Boston. Actually, the town over from where John Cena grew up, which was kind of cool.
There you go. Is that Salisbury? Is that the one you were talking about?
Newburyport. He lived in West Newbury.
Got
it. So it's like, people rock at it.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Well, guys, we got so much to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So much. 2 hours. 2 hours of American Grit.
2 hours. Excellent. Yeah. Let's get going.
Let's get into it. Now, right off the bat, we've got a conversation between Chris and Michael. And Michael's not so sure he wants to go. You know, he's like, I might be fine here.
Yeah.
Would you guys be fine in that setting for an extended period of time?
But
No, we weren't.
We're not woodsy type girls.
No, that's not. Even the last couple days when we were done filming, we had to like stay there for a little while.
Yeah.
And Michael like was like, "Oh, I'm gonna sleep in the cabins and stuff." We like knocked on the cadre's doors. We're like, "Guys, can we sleep on your couch?"
We slept in Grady's bed. He didn't get to sleep in his bed. Me and Hannah did that
we
night.
Slept on the couch.
But Hannah was picking like mud and fixing my tape and hair extensions the last few days. I was falling apart. My nails have been cut off. My hair extensions were falling out. My tan was fading. It was brutal, guys.
It was SOS. Like, SOS.
It was a rough life, of course. Yvette, what about you? How would you do in this scenario?
What do you mean?
How would I do? Roughing it, you know, finding your grit.
I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, you know, I'm a very much a girly girl.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I mentioned, I grew up with two brothers. So, I mean, I was getting camel clutched since the age of like six.
Oh my God.
And my face was in.
I have two brothers too. I have two brothers.
See,
there you go.
And my face was in the tile, and I'm very stubborn. So if you tell me no, I'm going to keep fighting. But then, obviously, like, I would, like, get my way out of it, and I would just yell.
Girl's
and my dad's like,
grit.
Don't touch your sister! And I'm like, he hit me, and I'm hitting myself, because I wouldn't tap out, and my brother's like, your shoulder blades were on the, you know, on the floor.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no, they weren't!
I was missing my sushi spots, too, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, every other day, I was like, oh, my God, I miss my sushi. So I was missing those things. But when it comes to staying at Camp Grit and not going back to the basement I was living in, I was fine. Like, living in a cabin and having a pavilion was much better than Ubering to and from the basement I was living in after I got evicted. So I wasn't trying to really go anywhere. I could give up my sushi spot and my nails, and my eyelashes, which I did to experience Camp Grit. So it was all worth it.
I would like to rough it too.
You'd like to what?
I would.
Oh, sure.
Just to give my face a break from makeup, watch it all clear up. I'd probably lose a couple.
That was one of the best parts. I'd probably lose weight. Because you can't have your cell phone. Like, to be able to go there and just have to disconnect, like, you don't have a choice. It was such a, like, vacation, wasn't it? To, like, be away from social media.
After
just,
a little.
That was a great part about it. Yeah.
Now, how long were you guys filming for again?
I don't know, Chloe. What, like,
Nearly 2 months?
Six. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, okay. And so, yeah, it's definitely, it's gotta feel good to kind of be off the grid for a little while.
It eventually did. It was tough for Gigi at first, but she got used to Gigi.
Oh my god, I've been waiting for Gigi to refer to herself in the third person.
Why do I do that on the show?
No, that's why.
Oh, I do it all the time. Mel and Herman love to make fun of me and imitate me. They're like, Gigi needs to go get some sushi. Like, they're always imitating me. So.
Now, of course, another thing that we kind of kicked off this episode with was Ricky ringing out, the first cadre having to ring out. Now, what did you guys, what was kind of that reaction when you hear that bell? Because you see everyone's reaction kind of, everyone's sort of panicking, no one really knows what's going on.
I think I was, because again, when the cadre found out about it, it was first when Allison was up for elimination and Chloe was like, hey guys, let's keep this on the DL. Like, I don't want any added pressure. Like, totally respect that. Totally get that. So when Ricky rung out, it was like a surprise to us. We didn't know what was happening. Yeah. We were kind of standing there. We weren't sure, because you can quit at any time. And we weren't sure, like, oh my God, did someone go quit? Like, who just rung the bell? Like, we didn't know what happened. And then we realized it was a cadre. I feel like that was kind of like, I don't know, that's when I realized, like, this is dwindling down.
That,
like,
was
a
sketchy.
Whole team is gone.
Yeah, it was sketchy. I was in your cabin. I think we were just doing dumb stuff. I was helping you put on your tan. Right. And then we heard the bell. And I remember running out, and I think I thought it was Carla. But then I was confused because I was thinking she would have rung out earlier. Why would she come ring out in front of all of us? Then when we see Ricky, it was like we were all bugged out. Speaking for myself, I was bugged out.
Definitely.
Right. Now, We get this powwow with John Cena. John Cena, you know, just kind of kicking it with everyone.
Chilling.
So yeah, what was that vibe in the room? Were you guys able to kind of take a load off a little bit?
Well, I actually do you remember what I was doing for you? I remember I was making Gigi and Herman grilled cheeses.
Amazing.
Oh yeah.
And I remember I was like, I didn't want to leave the grilled cheese because the food was a, like, hot commodity in the house. So I, like, didn't want to leave the grilled cheese, but I, like, knew out of respect, like, I got to go listen to Cena. So if you see the whole time, I'm, like, cooking in the background, like, oh, yeah, your 83-year-old grandmother. Like, I offered him a grilled cheese. He didn't take it, though. He's a robot. He doesn't even eat anything.
Self-sustained unit, right? Self-sustained unit.
Right. What about you? What did you think?
I ate grilled cheese during that whole. I was a little bit embarrassed. We got an email with some clips and some gifts and stuff for episodes, and they gave us a clip before the episode of John Cena's conversation. Every time they pinned it on my face, I'm just like.
Yeah, grilled cheeses were bombs.
They were good, and I ate like three. I think the two I was hungry. The third one I was just like anxious, and John Cena was still talking, so I was just like, keep talking, Cena.
Now,
so that's what was happening.
Now, over the course of this whole conversation, Allison's sort of. She's kind of keying into what's going on. She kind of flips the switch, like, all right,
Ninja girl. She knew. Smart girl. She knew it was
She's very intelligent. It was a shock for me, at least, to watch the episode and see her in the cabin with Chloe, like, I know what this is, and writing it down, I'm like, this is smart. And Green Team is like, how many paddles are on the wall?
How many?
And everyone is talking. I'm just sitting there looking at, like, greeting Herman like, guys, I don't know how many paddles are in the wall. And then the next day they're like, oh, who inspires John Cena the most? And I'm just like, I don't know.
There was something, and I don't know if this was a tactic of Allison, which, like, looking back, I'm like, again, smart move. But if you remember, when John Cena was having the conversation, she was also having the conversation back at him. Like, none of us were really talking to him.
That's how you remember things.
Right.
If you repeat what they say, you remember.
No, no, no. Girl, wait. I'm going a different direction here. She would then, like, give us her answer to, like, who her most, like, inspired person was.
Oh.
So I got, like, all the questions wrong because I was like, was this
random?
Right. I was like, how old
is Allison? That is throwing him off.
If that's the case, that is genius.
That is genius. I'd be like, yeah, my grandmother was 82.
Sure, coincidence, but I'm like, maybe. Like, I want to give her credit for that.
I don't think it was a coincidence. I think she knows exactly what she was doing, which is commendable. But I remember being like, Allison, like, John Cena's in the room.
Allison's a pretty smart girl.
Yeah, I was
surprised when I went into the cabin and she, like, had this notebook and she got it and she's like, I know what it is. And when she said it, I knew she was right.
Right.
You know, there's no way that she's wrong about this. Mm-hmm. She knew from the way that he was speaking that it was important. She said that he spoke in cadence. There's a rhythm to it. I noticed
it.
Everything mm-hmm. that he's saying for a reason. So I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. Yeah, sure.
I love that. He totally did speak in cadence too, because he made sure to, like, get every point in there, no matter how much we would, like, distract him. Like,
as I'm just like,
right,
we're not smacking on her grilled cheese.
Smacking grilled cheese.
Really? Like, every single time they pan it on my face, I've got a lump in the side of the cheese.
God. Now, by this time in the season, obviously you were here early on in the season, but by this time we've seen a lot of Allison. We've seen how well she kind of plays the game. At this point, having been a one-person team for so long, what was your dynamic with her at this point?
It was great to be with Allison one-on-one because she was like that wild card that no one could figure out. Like, is she doing this on purpose? Is she not?
Right.
Of course, the buttermilk ranch.
Forget Ranchgate.
Yeah, Ranchgate. Done on purpose. But she played the game. And, I mean, who wasn't playing the game?
Yeah.
She was there to stay.
Absolutely.
But during that time, I was able to get one-on-one and kind of try to get her to take a look at herself because she couldn't understand why people were treating her a certain way. So I kind of had to put it in her face so she could see it.
Right.
And then after that, I think she could focus more on the challenges that she was doing alone. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed by what she did all by herself. I mean, sliding down that slide in the mud, in the cold water, all by herself.
Time after time.
Like, every other team had a break, you know, between the players, and she had to do it back to back. So for her to get the first three correct and beat everybody, it was...
It looked exactly right before kind of Michael had that sort of come from behind moment. It really looked like she was just going to run the table, you know?
I thought definitely all
like, she's going to run. Oh, that's what we thought. Like, we
knew she won. We're like, Red won this one.
Yeah, and Green Tank, we knew, like, great, like, we're not all going to be at the finale. Like, we thought we were done. And then we got the 1 point and we're like,
she's like, but she's tired.
We were rotating. Allison was doing every single turn. So you have to, like, with some of the things that, you know, the game Allison is playing, which I didn't understand because I wouldn't say that I was really playing a game, so I didn't really understand. I took it as dishonesty instead of strategy. So instead of respecting her for the game, I was not really liking her because of it. But when I saw her compete like that, I had to go over and, like, hug her and say, like, wow, because that was awesome. She did a great performance, and there no one can take that from her, not even Buttermilk Ranch. Like, no one can discredit her from what she did, I would say.
Amen.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so that kind of, that earns Green Team sort of that immunity from that last elimination challenge.
We thought it was out the window too, but then I was like, nah, we gonna come back, because there's a lot of times where I almost really screwed myself and I came up from it. So I'm like, you know what, let's come up, guys, let's do it. And we did. I don't We did. So.
Meanwhile, me and Chris are in the corner, and Chris is like, "We have to cuddle for body warmth."
Oh, I love Chris.
You did.
He's a sweetheart.
Chris, man, I was hanging on for my boy Chris.
I made the right prediction.
No, huh?
No. I made the right prediction.
You did. You did. Yvette had it right.
I did.
Man, if only
we had put money on it.
If only we put money on it. We had predicted our choices for the winner. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Something like that. So
who predicted me?
And that would be Yvette. She fit correctly.
Oh well, hi girl. And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now I probably my favorite part of either of these episodes was Hannah and Gigi coming face to face with a snake.
Yes.
Yep.
In like we get this moment where Grady's like, "Streets in my pocket. Just trust me."
God.
You know something's going
on. My mind went elsewhere. I was like, "Oh God." I was like, "What are you going to do?"
Yvette. Come on.
It's like, "What are you doing?" Again, this is a family show.
I knew I couldn't trust you with a scene like that, Yvette.
But I was just like, cuz it's one of those things like when you always hear a guy say that, it's either going to be something really gross or something that's going to hurt you. So I never want to put my hand in their pocket.
Right. So Hannah, obviously we saw your physical reaction the first time you saw what was in Grady's pocket.
So we were sitting by the fireplace, mm-hmm. and or whatever that thing was, the wood stove.
Yeah.
And Grady came over and was like, "Gigi, do you trust me? Like, put your hand in my pocket." Whatever. And I saw a snake. Gigi. She was, it was a different kind of snake.
Oh my god.
It's midnight here. We're allowed to talk like that.
After Buzz After Dark.
That's right. I saw the snake skin in his wallet. What is it?
Pocket.
In his pocket. In his pocket.
You got it.
And in that moment, I like knew it was going to be a trust exercise with him and Gigi. So, like, I didn't want to ruin it. Like, I wanted to tell her, like, "Girl, it's a snake. Let's get out of here." But I was like, "That's her cadre. Like, I don't want to step on his toes." So I was just like, "I'm going to stay over here. And, like, you go do your thing." Like, I'm
she's
not...
bawling her eyes out. I'm like, "Why is Hannah crying?" She's going, "No." And Grady's like, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me?"
And I was, like, over by the producers, I remember. And they, like, stopped. And they were like, "You need to go do this over there." And I was like, "No, I don't." I'm going to stay right by the cameraman because I know that I don't have to get close to it.
And I was legitimately like pissed off. Even before commercial break, he goes, "Oh, you're pissed." And I'm just like.
Right. You actually were pissed. I remember.
What was
yeah.
that? Like, what?
Right.
What was that? It was funny. I mean, looking back, I wish I had laughed about it.
Yeah.
But I guess with Grady, you know, you really don't like. He has a different like idea like, "Oh, this practices trust." Like, to me, like, no, it doesn't practice trust. Like, you're just messing with me.
Right.
And I didn't want to be messed with. I'm already, like, I'm already the little sister of the group. I'm the smallest and youngest competitor there, and I'm on the team with the three strongest guys. So they're all picking on me, like, all the time. So the last, like, I can deal with, like, Herman pulling my sleeves over my hands and tying me to a pole and tickling me, but I cannot deal with my cadre forcing a hand into my snake with my eyes closed.
A hand into my snake.
I mean,
never mind. Maybe what you were trying to say.
We get it.
I just didn't understand the point. Like, why did there have to be a trust thing done at that time?
That's just Grady. Grady's just a random wild child. You never know what you're going to get with him.
Uh-huh.
There was a snake in our house, and immediately me and Ricky are like, "Grady, go get that thing," you know? And he's like, "Oh." He picks it up and pulls out his knife and he chops his head off. And we're like, "Ooh,
oh, shit.
Yay, our hero." And then he's like, bam, and he threw it. And I'm like, "Oh!" He threw a dead snake at me. So thanks, Grady.
Oh my god.
See, so at least, so it could have been worse.
It's not just you, yeah. At least yours was like living.
What freaked me out about it so much is like, I don't know, if, like, we have curious creatures up here which, like, go to kids' birthday parties and, like, you can hold a snake and, like, hold a skunk. But, like, they're all half sedated. They're, like, geriatric snakes. But this whole thing was, this was probably the one that just lived in the trees. Like, you don't know it's not going to bite you.
Yeah,
like,
he just picked it up.
This was just a snake, like, in the wilderness. Like,
I was literally waiting, though, when she's like, you promise it's not going to bite me? He's like, "I promise." I was like, if that snake bites the shit out of her.
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, she's going to flip her shit.
You think they would have heard that?
I was very, very mad. I ran into a cameraman. Like, I was... I was not happy with Grady. And this was after there was another incident that wasn't on camera, but like a catfish thing where they thought it would be a good idea to have me catch a catfish. And then it turned into a big thing. But we're not going to talk about that. Essentially, it turned into like a horrible experience for TG. And I'm like, where's the fish that you tried to make me like stomp on and cook with like my bare hands? And now you've got a snake in your pocket and telling me, do you trust me? Like, the next time you ask me, like, do I trust you? I'm going to say, yes, I'm going to run. Like, yes, but I don't need your test. I gotta go.
I will say the one good thing that came from the snake, though, at least from my point of view, was I had elimination the next day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the whole time since I've been there, my whole thing was like snakes. I'll do anything. Like, I can't do snakes. I'm not trying to do that. I want nothing to do with it. So it was kind of cool to deal with the snake thing, even though I didn't really deal with it that gracefully. Mm-hmm. But going into elimination, I was kind of like, I thanked him afterwards, and I was like, you know, as horrible as that was, thank you, because I can go into this elimination and kind of be like, there's nothing now that I'm not, like, mentally prepared for. Because, mm-hmm. like, for some snakes always, I was like, I was waiting for them to throw snakes at us, like, the whole time. I was like, I know that's coming.
Right. Well, that shot...
kind of a thing. It faced your fears, you know?
Exactly. That shot of you holding the snake, like, that's one of my favorite moments of this whole season. Aww.
But when Burke walks in and then all of a sudden I'm the damsel in distress. Uh-huh.
And he was like, put that snake down. I was like, Jesus.
Big that shady Grady has me.
This season definitely wouldn't have been the same with that dynamic between Burke and Hannah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite.
That was great.
Hannah all drugged up on morphine. Oh, my God.
Hannah, when you were biting that spoon.
Jesus Christ, you bet.
She wasn't drugged up then. That was just her being crazy.
It was just, yeah. I know, but do you see Chrissy's so good, I'm grabbing at his hair, nothing's there. That was like the second, that was the other thing too, that was like timestamp. That was like the second or third day of filming. I remember that was like in the beginning. People were like,
she's already
what's
bleeding.
Wrong with this girl? Didn't like, she just bang. Jump in the river? Like,
So you talked about Chris. Obviously, you had to compete against him in this elimination challenge. Tell us about this challenge, about having to kind of balance this board with a bowling ball on top of it.
That elimination challenge, I mean, that wheel, it was different from my wheel elimination challenge, just because this one was, I don't know if the word is so difficult or had so many moving parts to it, that, again, they brought us to it the night before. And was like, practice, because you guys are all going to three get up there and you're going to be able to do it for like 30 seconds unless you like get comfortable with it and figure out what you're doing. And that was really tough for me. Just that every 10 minutes, and it doesn't sound like a long time, but to stand in one spot for 10 minutes and like knowing in your head, like, okay, I'm like 75, 76. Like it like mentally gets to you. I'm not good at that. Like, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I don't run, but that's a big reason why I don't run. Cause I'm like, what am I supposed to think about? Like, but Burke, had this thing that he did with Chris and I that they didn't show on the show. And he had us playing a game where we were talking. I think Allison actually played with us a couple times, which was kind of cool, but it was one of those like, what's grandma bringing or whatever. And like, you go down the alphabet. Like, I say grandma's bringing apricots.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
And we like got, I'm pretty sure we got all the way to like X or Y. And then like, we were kind of far back and I was like, okay, I can't play anymore, guys.
I had to concentrate.
We're coming down to the wire now. I think it was right after Allison dropped out. I was like, all right, guys, this is serious.
Didn't Chris start singing a song? I don't remember what it was, but,
Oh my God. And I remember what it was. He was, peak flower soars through the air when the greatest of ease, the flying old boy on the little trapeze.
Oh my God. He sang that song over and over, and Burke was like, okay, Chris, shut up.
That's
I remember
incredible.
Someone was sorry, someone to shut up there.
Well, yeah, Hannah at one point, please stop talking.
I was like, please, Chris, please stop talking. That was basically the whole 10 weeks.
And then he told Burke to stop whispering.
Well, because I hear him, Cena, and Grady like whispering off, and I'm like, I can't look over there. And I didn't want to be like a Carla and be like, shh. Like, I wanted to be like, yo, can we like take it down a couple notches? Because like, you're whispering, like, I can hear you.
So Hannah, of course, is the sole survivor in this elimination challenge. Chris sadly must go home, and of course Allison must go home. Chloe, tell us about that moment, that moment when that bowling ball hit the ground.
I felt it coming because another thing that you didn't see was I was talking to Allison. Allison mm-hmm. would at some point be like, tell me a story. I need to think about something. Sure. I need to talk about something. So I would tell her a funny story about my daughter or something. We laugh and, you know, she was doing well. And every like 10 minutes I would come with another story. Mm-hmm. And then after the last story, she got really quiet and I was like, you want to hear another story? And she's like, she didn't say a word.
Oh, no.
Oh. I was like, I knew it was happening, but she said, I can't feel my finger. And damn. I was like, all right, well, it wasn't a huge disappointment. Of course, I wanted my girl to win.
Sure.
But I was proud of her for making it that far.
Sure.
You know, and she made so much progress. So I wasn't upset. I was pretty proud.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, for having made it this far, being a one-person team, I mean, it had been a while since Vanessa had left.
Right. And I don't think anybody expected her to last as long as she did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That first challenge that she did alone, I think people had already counted her out.
Right.
But, yeah, she proved a lot of people
and
wrong.
And that other thing, too, is that this is what I didn't like, though, because the stupid buttermilk ranch gate and all that stuff happened. So, like, when she hurt her finger, we were all like, pfft. But then after we watched it on the TV, like, she hurt her finger.
Right.
Like, then I saw that and was like, oh, that must have, like, killed. I can imagine holding on to those things. That's a huge handicap. But I felt so bad because I was like,
she's trying to buy time.
I had, like, all four of my fingers are bleeding in some sort of way. So I'm like, what a wuss. But, like, scraped. So, like, when we saw in slow motion, I'm like,
I literally texted her and was like, I'm sorry.
I put my tail between my legs for a second. Yeah. I was like, your finger hurts. Now the green team is coming up. But now I'm like, oh no, like, that hurt.
That was the thing. Yep.
Right.
We had a reason to discredit her. Or I feel as though I had reason to discredit and believe that, but still. Now that I look back, tail between Gigi's legs, that looks brutal. Yeah,
it's not unfounded, exactly. So, of course, Allison's not the only one that has to go home. Of course, Chris has to ring out as well.
He broke the bell.
breaking the bell on the way out.
His was the best because he was like, he was adorable, he's a sweetheart, but he was also the most awkward. So, like, just the fact that the bell was like, he was like ready to go, like, so hard. Yeah. He was going to go ham on it.
I think he said, I never rang a bell with so much pride. And he goes to start and it just
rolls the whole thing.
And I'm like, oh,
crashing.
Poor baby.
God.
It was the perfect closing moment for Chris.
Yeah. That's how Chris is going to ring out.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Of course.
If it's not you.
Yeah.
Of course. No more gritty Chrisadillas for...
He made me one for that day, and I made him one too.
Aww. I love that. Nice. So now that Hannah's the only one left on the blue team, now that the green team is left, we've got basically no more Kondre. No one's on any teams anymore.
Yeah.
It's everyone for themselves at this point.
Yep.
So then we see that final challenge or I guess the final immunity challenge, rather, you know, putting everyone in order of when they left.
When they left, yeah.
Right. Were you guys confident in your skills going into this one?
No. I was confident in the sense that for the pay attention to detail thing, I remember I said, I don't know how many paddles are on the wall. I don't know how many eggs are in the fridge. But what we did was we did write down everybody in order that was eliminated. Mm. So I kind of had that fresh in my mind. My issue with the challenge was, first off, those pieces like weighed as much as I did.
Right.
I had a hard time moving them. I could see where they had to go. I had no idea how to get them there. Right. I never really got a good rhythm. And I'm not going to say I gave up because I didn't, but I was like, wow, like if I don't get my rhythm going, like this is going to end badly. And then before I knew it, Michael was done, but Michael's good at puzzles. We the challenge where we had to unscrew the pieces and then put it together, where red team won visits from family. I remember me and Michael are the ones that figured that puzzle out for the most part. I mean, George is great and strong, but you needed me and Michael for that challenge. It goes to show that it's not just a physical thing. So I knew that me and Michael would kind of be head to head with that. Mm. What about for you?
For me, well, I mean, first off, wardrobe had me looking like 1993 Madonna. So, like, I walked out there like,
I actually liked it. I thought her wrap was great, and the lipstick was on point.
That red lip.
You pulled it off. I was like, dang, look how hot it is.
Well, I was feeling myself going out there. I'm like, well, because I was kind of like, they're not going to put us in these clothes. Like, I kind of knew, like, okay, it's kind of, it's going to be something different. Because I was like, they can't have me in these jeans that I can't breathe in. And be like, go get in the mud. But yeah, it was, there was two things that were really hard for me in that challenge. One was seeing a puzzle piece on one side of the puzzle and knowing I have to get it over there and being like, how does that happen?
Right.
But then the other part of it, which was so distracting, you forget, you're looking in the eyes essentially of these people that have gone home. Like, I'm looking at Melanie, I'm looking at Herman, I'm looking at Jill. That was really hard to kind of push people aside, and it was tough to not get distracted and almost emotional, like, in a sense with that.
I did. That's what I had said. I think one of my interviews they aired, I said, more than being physical, this was psychologically really tough for me. Like you said, you're literally looking in the eyes of, like, you know, I'm like, Carla, like, I see George, and the colors of the blocks, the colors of their teams, I see George, and he's in a blue block, and I'm pushing, and I'm just like, this is so, and I'm seeing Heather didn't even get picked for a team in white, and I'm just like, all of this is weird. Oof. And you know what I noticed, though? There was no green blocks.
That's so true. That's so funny.
That's hilarious.
I wasn't about to be a green block, so.
Right. And so Michael, you mentioned him being good at puzzles. He wins this one. It seemed like fairly easily. It seemed like this one didn't really seem that hard for him.
He's good at that type of stuff.
He is.
His mind works like that. He's like, he walked in that, he's like, I knew right then and there, like, I got this one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
More power to him, man. Like, I can't do that.
I don't remember
Chinese
anything. I don't remember anything. And I get distracted by John Cena's biceps. Said it.
Said it.
I said it before. I'll say it again.
I would have been eliminated the first day. They would have been like, you got run. I would have been like, what?
Sorry, start?
Go?
Right.
John Cena? Okay.
So of course, winning this challenge, putting that puzzle together, Michael kind of wins that unenviable task of choosing who has to ring out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you guys think of him having that choice? Chloe, what did you think of this responsibility?
It was a shock to us because we didn't know that, you know, that was going to happen either. But it was like, dang, I would hate to have to do that because on one hand, you want to win. And you want to eliminate the biggest threat, right? And the biggest threat is someone who's on your team, someone you call your family.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, gosh, it's going to be terrible. But at the same time, like,
right. This
is a person who has gone to almost every elimination and come back victorious.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go up against that?
And not only that, not only like a 3-time elimination survivor, but also like what it seems like the most genuinely nice guy as
and
well.
And that's what made it so hard because you feel like, he deserves to be here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's the only guy, if you picked him to ring out, he would just be all smiles like, all right,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
And
he did.
Yeah.
He
literally
walked out. No, don't cry. And I'm like, no, this is sad. This sucks. He's like, no, it doesn't. And I'm like, yes, it does. He's like, no, it doesn't. And I said, fine.
But, you know, he also has this weird thing. You know, every time they show him, they show an eagle or some fire or something like that. So he was always predicting shit, you know? He's like, I had a dream last night. He knew that he was going home.
Wow.
He knew he was going home.
He did. Did they show? He had literally a piece of paper in his pocket
that said
me on it.
Yeah.
When Michael picked him, he said, I know, dude, and pulled it out. And I just looked at the paper and I was like, Blizzard.
So when the lotto numbers come out, you know, I'm going to have them right next to me and I'll be like, okay.
So once Herman's gone, I love this kind of bonding that we saw. We saw Grady take Chris fishing, and then we saw some other sort of unorthodox tactics from Burke with Michael.
I kind of liked that, though, how Burke got with Michael. Sometimes, like, under that pressure is when you break or when you say what you really want to say. And the way he got, I was like, yes, yes, and I cried.
He got him there? Oh, absolutely.
I cried.
It was emotional.
That was a powerful moment. Yeah,
it was.
That was really cool. And it was cool to see Burke because, again, he like he knew with me and Chris, you can't really do that. Like, you can't come and scream.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'll probably just be like, okay, where's that bell? Like, so it was kind of cool for us, at least, to kind of see him in that, like, full drill sergeant mode, but it have a purpose. Like, he's not just a dink. Like, I just think dink. he did it for a reason.
What? Sure.
What?
No, I get it for sure. Yeah. So we've got Herman out. So now we're down to three. We're down to Hannah, we're down to Gigi, and we're down to Michael in this very, very ominous final challenge. This gigantic crane hanging everyone's ass from it.
It's intimidating. We walked up and we were like, is that a crane? And is that a bar? And is that another bar? Like, what is going on? We couldn't tell. Like, we walked up and I don't know, one of us saw it peeking out of the trees. And I was like,
all I remember is I woke up that morning and I remember telling Gigi, and I'm pretty sure I told Michael too, like we were like sitting, I think we were in Blue Cabin, we were in my room like getting ready or whatever. And we were talking, we were like, what's it going to be like? Are we going to be skydiving? Like, are we going to be like swimming sharks? Like, and I remember I stood there and I said, as long as it's not a static hold, I'll be fine. As long as we're not like at the bottom of a pull up from a bar, I'll be good.
Right.
And I literally walked up to that thing and I was like, Burke? Like, he had bad grip strength too in the cadre. Elimination. I was like, Burke, sorry.
Do either of you guys have issues with heights at all?
I don't. I love them. I was, when they were hooking me up, I knew what I was about to do. I was like, bring it on, baby. I was so excited. To me, I was just like, adventure time. I got that from Herman, my team, for everything. He said, don't let it scare you. The more scared it is, the more of an adventure it is. And so when I saw that, like, there's probably a twinkle in my eye. In my mind, I went, adventure time.
It was a beautiful view. Do you remember? Like, over the trees, yeah. And there were, like, hawks. I don't know what they are. They were birds. Exaggerate. There was a butterfly.
I like the bird when it hit me.
But it was beautiful.
It was. We had a view from up there.
Well, like, yeah, I got some chalk.
I know, right?
I spit in the water to watch it.
Just to watch it go.
Okay. I sing Soul Man to make the time go by.
That's incredible. No, did being up there that high and kind of dealing with the bar and dealing with the crane make it harder to think about the answers to these questions?
Yes.
Figuring out which hand, okay.
I wouldn't have, it doesn't matter where you would have put me, the questions I got wrong, I would have still got wrong. I am not good at memory. Like, I won't lie, like, I saw the challenge and I said, I have a good, like, body mass. Like, I think that this is something, like, I've definitely, like, I have a shot. Like, it's not like, oh, Michael's more strong, than beat Gigi. Like, no, like, this is a fair shot here for Gigi. So, like, I need to pull this out. But once John Cena, so when I see that we'll be hanging, and I'm like, I can do this because I'm all about, like, mindsets. So I'm like the opposite of Hannah. I said, if it's something where I literally have to let go and choose to quit, like, I will win. But the second John Cena goes, oh, yeah, and we're going to be asking you questions, I was like, shit. Just kidding. Like, let's hope I don't go first.
I did that.
Right, exactly. So it's got a time has got to go so slowly when you're up there, when you're in a situation that's stressful.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so upset, too, that they didn't put me and Gigi next to each other. Because, like, I get it. Michael was, like, totally in the zone. Like, he didn't want to, like, kind of be, like, associated with us that day. And, like, I get it. He's got to get in his zone. He's got to do his thing.
There's
$250 million on the line.
Right.
And so, like, the whole time I was kind of, like, not the whole time, but a couple times I was like, Gigi, like, do you want to play a game?
I couldn't hear her.
She couldn't hear me over Michael. And then Michael would be like, But I'm like, if Gigi was next to me, we would have been, like, who knows? We would have been, like scatting up there.
We were good. We were like, we were jamming. We were and like I said, Michael is in the zone. Me and Hannah have different approaches.
Right.
We were like sitting next to each other. Like we had like, I don't know. We were listening to like Justin Bieber's. Oh no, we were listening to a song. It was Nicki Minaj and Drake because in Nicki Minaj's verse, she goes, oh, thinking out loud, almost got a $250,000 on me right now. And me and Hannah were singing it, like, laughing. And Michael and I was like, Michael, did you hear this song? And he just, like, won't even look at us.
I get it. Like, it's he's got to do his thing. thing. Like,
I understood, but we were like, all right, this is the way today's gonna go.
So exactly.
Like put him in the middle on purpose, almost to separate us.
Oh yeah,
I don't know why. That would have been fun.
So we got to get to those moments. We got to get to that moment that both of your hands came off the bar, Hannah. That's got to be. It was a slip.
It was so sad.
Right, exactly. That's got to make it so much worse.
I was so mad. Like, no, we're not Hannah.
It was, thank you, baby. It was one of those things where he would say, whatever the question is, drop your hand. And then we had to wait for him to literally say the words, you may now grab the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, we couldn't do it and then hurry up and put our hand on. So, like, we drop our hand, and he's like, all right, that was the correct answer. They now all put your hand. And by that time, I was already slipped on. I was like, I tried to save it, and I
right.
just couldn't.
Right, of course. And then...
There's no feeling that is even... I like, literally have nightmares about it tonight. Like,
right,
like,
right.
Like, yeah,
and so then,
it's crazy.
So then after that, of course, the moment that Michael... slips off. Gigi, did that moment feel real at all? What did that feel like?
I would take a lot of people were like, oh, what was going through your mind when you realized you won $250,000? That is not what was going through my mind. That's great, but that takes a while to register. You're talking to a girl that was living in her car 3 months before American Grid. So I couldn't grasp the $250,000 thing. I have to get the thing. It's a great thing. But my concern was I know that I have not gone to an elimination, and neither had Michael. The cadre was so focused on getting rid of Herman and George that they didn't see me as a threat. And so this was my one and only chance to show people that I wasn't carried by my team. Like, I could hold my own. Because, look, like I said, if I don't win this, everything that everybody says about my team carrying and Gigi being the weakest link, she couldn't have done it on her own. All that could have been true. So I had that resting on my shoulders. Like, I had to win. So in my mind, when he was like, you've won American Grit, I was just like, I knew that even the cadre, like, I think everybody but Grady was like, nah, girl, like, our team is why you're here. And John Cena says to me, he literally said right before, there are people that said that, there are people that are going to say that you're only here because your team carried you, that your personality kind of makes you seem like a little bit like, oh, she's all nails and eyelashes. And this, considering I haven't done an elimination on my own, is your one and only shot to prove, literally to America. Like, imagine if I... got really far with a great team with George Foreman IV, and then got voted off. Like, if I didn't get to have this challenge to prove myself, that would have been horrible. So what was going through my mind was just, I cannot let America think that I was carried, because I busted my ass with my team. Mm-hmm. You know how hard it was? Like I said, I had to worry about keeping up with the boys, and then I had to beat the boys, and I did. I got my chance, and I delivered. So the people that are like, oh, Gigi was carried, like, no, I did it. And so that's the moment that was going through my mind. And honestly, I couldn't wait to get dropped down to the water and go and look at, you know, Chloe, Ricky, and Burke and go.
What an underdog story. Bat in 1,000.
I know.
You know, I knew when I saw the challenge that Gigi had it, because she's a lightweight, you know?
Like, right, exactly.
She didn't have a bunch of weight pulling on her. She's like, hang.
No muscle. Michael might have more weight than me, but he has more muscle. Like, we are both very proportioned. So I knew that it was anybody's game, and it just had to be a mental strength. But me, I mean, there are people, I can't say for sure Hannah's in Michael's exact situation, but I wasn't going home to a loving family. I wasn't going home to a car. I wasn't going home to a job. So the longer that I stayed on that bar, the longer I was free of all that stuff, the longer I was free of the pressure of social media. I just gotten cheated on and broke up with my boyfriend. I didn't want to go back to, I wanted to stay in my grit world. So the sooner that I let go of that bar, the sooner I had to go back to that. So I had, when I was hanging on to that bar, I wasn't just hanging on to $250,000. I was hanging on to one, you know, my sanity. I didn't want to go back. I was hanging on to the happiness and all the friendships that I had there. And I was hanging on to what could be, a mental change that Burke and everybody had said, you know, Gigi can't hold her own. I was holding on. There's a lot that was I was holding on to. I wasn't just holding on to a bar. Like, there's a lot of things going on in my mind. I didn't want to go home. So the longer I was up there, you know, I didn't have to go home. So that think that's what got me through that challenge.
Well, Gigi, congratulations on your win on the $250,000. Hannah is
I did it because I didn't want my eyelash to stop.
That's incredible. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Chloe, thank you for joining us. Thank you. You guys, thank you for tuning in. This has been an incredible, incredible season. Gigi and Hannah, tell everyone what you're involved with. Where can they find you?
Oh my God. Gigi, you go first.
You can find me where the money's at, baby. I'm just kidding.
Cashier at the bank.
Cash me outside. How about
that? Okay. Plug.
You can find me both on Instagram, which is my biggest platform, and Snapchat. Super easy. Gigi Gustin. No spaces. G-I-G-I. If it was on paper, you would dot the I's with hearts, but it's not on paper. You're going to type it in, so just G-I-G-I is fine. Gustin. G-U-S-T-I-N. And then my Twitter is Gigi's a Gangsta. That is G-I-G-I-I, dot my eyes with hearts, Z-A-G-A-N-G-S-T-U-H.
Good. Incredible.
Might be a little bit easier as a fellow gangster, though. My Instagram is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H-K-O-E-N, which is my last name. It's not Cohen, it's Keo, like a key that you own. Right. And my Snapchat is HKOEN2086. And we have a lot of fun on Snapchat, so that's a good one.
There you go. Chloe, where can they find you?
At Chloe Mondazier on all platforms.
Absolutely. God, thank you so much. It's been an amazing, amazing season. Yvette, tell them one last time where they can find you.
You guys can find me at Sports and Sass with 3 S's on Twitter and 2 S's on Instagram.
Amazing. Josh, hit us with that outro music, would you? Where's that music? There we go. Guys, Lem Gonzalez has been a phenomenal, phenomenal host this season. Please go find him at The Poet Saint online. StayOnTheMic.com. I'm Ty Matthews. You can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. Catch me on the Lucha Underground after show in just about 45 minutes and on the American Ninja Warrior after show next Wednesday. But thank you so much. If you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. If you're on iTunes, down below, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty. Thank you so much for joining us. Wow. Join us back here at AfterBuzz TV for season 3. Find us all online. Let's all talk. Let's all find our grit together. But guys, until next time, peace.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.